Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Chad Hastie Program. I'm Paul R. Bean, in for Chad today, and maybe tomorrow, if I can shake this little bug that's chasing me around. 1-800-687-0790, 770-5790, if you'd like to place a call locally. We'd like to welcome in State Representative John Frullo, who is in studio today. And, John, you're extremely busy because you've got some work to do tomorrow because the Speaker of the Texas House is coming in. And tell me, first of all, before we get into visiting with you, tell me what's on tap tomorrow for the Speaker as he comes into Lubbock.
Good morning, Paul, and great to be here. The Speaker is going to come in tomorrow and talk about Proposition 6, the water proposition. And I'm not sure about the time. I think it's going to be sometime in the afternoon. And, of course, you folks in the press will know, and I'll find out somewhere between now and then. And they're just going to go and talk about why they think that's a good proposition.
Right. What do you think about it? Are you in favor of Prop 6?
I am in favor of it for several reasons. First off, we need to jumpstart that. We need to get some money going into funding these programs. As you know, we have and of course your work on the city, we have a 50-year water plan, about $53 billion that is targeted for spending in that plan. And what this does is it takes some of that money from the rainy day fund, kind of ironic, we're taking money from the rainy day fund
for
to
water.
Yeah, exactly, for water. But that money will come out of the fund, about $2 billion, and or actually at $2 billion, and be put into what they're calling an evergreen fund, which that money will be a revolving loan fund that it'll go through a hierarchy of determining what projects should be funded. This will be seed money that local organizations will be able to put money, match money, put money in, and then build the water infrastructure that's part of that 50-year plan. So it's a good use of the money compared to what it's earning right now. It probably, you know, we know what interest rates are, terribly low. So this money will actually be put to work and be able to start developing those projects and plans.
Right. Downstate, they got water problems. Out here, we've got a lot of water. It's all underground. Will there be checks in place to make sure that we don't have a T. Boone Pickens situation where we want to send water, you know, 300 miles downstate from the Llano Estacada or from Roberts County or some of these water-bearing stratas out here which have literally trillions of gallons of water?
Well, I think, you know, if you go back to the work, again, that you did on the city council, you know what it is, how expensive it is to move that water. A lot of times just the cost keeps that type of stuff from happening. Well, what we need to do, of course, what we are doing is looking as our water resources dwindle and our population increases. I was looking at, depending on the source, either some people say as close as 25 years, others saying 40 to 50 years, our population is doubling, our water resources are dwindling by about 18% in that same time frame. We have to start putting things in place. I think that part of it's economics. Part of it is just developing new solutions. It could be desal plants as you get further south. You know, the Permian Basin is actually starting to work on some of those right now. El Paso has a big desal plant. So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with just how this all evolves, the money that's available. A big portion of it is how much are those local communities going to put in, what's their priority and how much money will they put into this system? And that's going to raise the priority of whether or not this money will be available for that purpose.
You know, it's interesting when you start talking about water because we still have the right of capture and it's a very, very emotional issue, especially more, you'd say west of I-35 than it is east of I-35. I think the issue right of capture is really a major area out here. But major projects in the Metroplex, and that's where they're having problems from time to time. East of I-35, along the I-35 corridor, they're having some water problems in those areas. Of course, they've just had recent rains, but by and large, they've been having water problems for several years. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, when you have situations like they have down in those areas, and they just don't seem to want to move forward with projects. As an example, John, I've always said the future for Dallas-Fort Worth lies at Toledo Bend along the Texas-Louisiana line. Recently, I think the feds, I say recently, it's been a few years ago, they killed the huge reservoir, which was planned for the Sulphur River bottom, which was basically east of Sulphur Springs and in the Clarksville area, that big vacant floodplain down there in northeast Texas called the Sulphur River Bottom, because it was supposedly where the last stand of hardwoods are in Texas. Can we make progress on major water projects, and is that what this fund is going to be for in Prop 6?
It is. There are some reservoirs in that plan, and of course the whole plan is out there and available, but one of the things I think is interesting is not so much just creating a reservoir and filling it, but it's actually the way they're storing water. They're actually going to underground water systems where they're finding areas where water can be dumped into and then pulled out later. There's a lot of those plans working. Looking again at the desal, it's a very expensive process, but a number of different items, you know, looking at ways that we can work with other states. It's a pretty complex and involved, as it's been said a number of times, whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting over.
Right, absolutely. And that's been an old saw in Texas for many, many years. Recycled water has got to come to the forefront in Texas. The yuck factor always is going to be prevalent. But we've got to change our thinking about recycled water, because as you say, with the growth that we're having in populations and the shrinking water supplies, there's not going to be enough water to go around. And there's just not. And will this Prop 6, will it work toward recycling programs for some of the larger communities in the state?
Right. There is a recycling component of that, as well as a conservation component. Let's face it, the cheapest water we have is the water that we already have.
Right.
So if we can figure out how to save it, whether that's going to xeriscaping, whether it's changing the type of shrubbery and lawns that people have, there's a lot of different options, and I can't remember. I think it may be 10 or 20% of that is actually for conservation. So, recycling is something that we will use. And like you say, it's a yuck factor, but you know, at the end of the day, all water is recycled.
It's just,
whether it's coming from a cloud or up the stream.
Let's go to the phones this morning. We've got Michael on the line, and she wants to say a couple of things about Proposition 6. Good morning, Michael.
John, my concerns particularly with this, and I've studied it, you know, quite at length, is that they haven't really ever tapped into the $6 billion that was in the revolving water bank bonds that they got approval for in 2011, and yet this is being pushed as absolutely necessary for the drought. And there's just a ton of things that smack of a lot more of this crony public private partnership type things, and I'm very disturbed about it. I'm sure it will pass because everybody thinks, oh, it's about water, but we shouldn't be taking money out of that rainy day fund when we haven't even used anything out of the $6 billion that's sitting there.
Well, Michael, of course, that $6 billion, my understanding is a lot of that is already committed. As far as this $2 billion, of course, it'll go through the Water Development Board, which I agree with you. We will need to monitor how that board works, how that money is used, what controls are in place. I think that this is a good way to start putting $2 billion against the $53 billion that will be required. We need to do something. We need to get it going, and I think this is a good way. On the other side, if you look at where that money is coming from right now, it's not earning very much money as an interest rate. The other side is that during the discussion on the House floor, there was a lot of talk about, well, this will kill our bond ratings. This is terrible for the state. You know, how much money is enough in that rainy day fund? Right now, I believe that Texas has the highest bond rating that we've ever had. As far as approval by the voters, you know, that will be up to the voters. But I think that there's a lot of good reasons for putting this into place and getting it going. It's going to take a number of years just for this to start, those funds to be distributed and being put into place. As we know, these water projects take years. I think that Ellen Henry, I'm getting winded up here from Paul. So,
I was just going to say several of the Texas Water Development Board past members have come out against it and exposed a lot of the stuff that's going on there as well. So,
okay, we've got to take a break. Michael, do you want to hold on? Do you have any other questions?
No, that's okay. Fine. Right. I just disagree.
Okay. All right. This is the Chad Hasty Show. Thanks, John's good explanation. And it's an obvious question that probably needed to be asked. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with John Frullo, state representative, in just a moment. This is KFYO. And if you want to be a part of the program, as usual, call 1-800-687-0790 or 770-5790. This is the Chad Hasty Program. I'm Paul Arby. This is the Chad Hasty Program. John Frullo is our guest. Let's go back to the phones this morning and pick up Robert. I think Robert has a question about unemployment compensation. Good morning, Robert. You're on the Chad Hasty Program.
Good morning, Mr. Paul Arvine. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Good morning, State Representative John Frullo.
Good morning, Robert.
Well, you probably are aware that this is not the first time I have attempted to reach out and communicate with you and Congressman Randy Nagelbarber and Robert Duncan and Charles Perry concerning the question is whether the Texas Workforce Commission, whether the act, the Unemployment Act, is unconstitutional. And I went to the Speaker of the House, Mr. Strauss, Joe Strauss, during the session and asked if he would send a runner to you. You remember that? It asked if somehow we could get you guys to move off of Debt Center and represent the people of Texas. And with respect to corporations practicing law under the color of the Secretary of State, which she has been replaced by the former DPS, Mr. John Steinstein, it's an effort to cover up organized criminal activity, racketeering, embezzlement of federal funds. So when I went to Washington and spoke with Congressman Randy Nagelbarber in the year of 2011, since there were federal funds to replenish the state's expiring unemployment compensation, he told me, Congressman Nagelbarber, to give you guys a chance to deal with it since it's a state issue. Y'all chose to ignore me, and since I represent the state of Texas concerning the racketeering, stalking state employees, embezzlement of federal funds, misappropriation of state funds, and so forth, practicing law under the color of the Secretary of State, which is illegal, you guys chose to just acquiescence. And I think you're deliberately, intentionally, conscientiously turning this state, attempting to turn Texas into a fascist state.
Okay, and Robert, is there a question in here somewhere for
Yes. Okay. I want to know how in the world can you come before the public with a straight face and deliberately lie and cover up concerning the role that we sent you there to represent the people in the state of Texas, and you're back here as if nothing happened, and it interferes with the 7.8% or 8% unemployment rate that you guys fictitiously interfered with, denying people their rights to receive rightfully earned entitlement. I'll hang up or I'll hold on if you got a question.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Robert. John, any reaction to
Well, I think first off that we accomplished quite a bit in our legislative session that, you know, there's always things that we could do to make certain laws better. I think that the best thing we can do for unemployment is create jobs, and Texas has a great track record of creating jobs up here just recently. I haven't checked the numbers, but Texas has created more jobs than the rest of the nation put together. Definitely during the recession, we have the jobs that we lost during this recession, we've already gained plus more. I think that folks that want to work should be able to work, and if they want to work, Texas is a place to come. We're getting about 1,200 people coming to Texas each and every day. That's 5 million people over 10 years. So we're doing a lot of the right things in Texas, and I think we're the beacon for the United States and, you know, the rest of the world. So I'm proud of what we do, and I think most folks are because they're showing us and voting with their feet. They're moving to Texas.
Right, absolutely, and that's one of the great pluses for this state. It brings on a tremendous number of challenges for the House of Representatives and the Texas Senate as they try to work their way through transportation issues and water issues. And there's a little bit of a downside to an ever increasing population in the state of Texas. Do we have all of the facilities in place that we need to absorb a tremendous number of new Texans? But it's a good problem to have. It's certainly not the problem that they have in Detroit. We're not going to have much time. We've got Matt McCoviak coming up at 9:35. We're going to put Matt off for about 5 minutes if we can, about 9:40 this morning. And I want to talk to you when we get back just briefly. We're not going to have much time. But, John, you were the subject of a rather nasty mailer, I thought, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, something like that, where you received a D- in the fiscal responsibility index, and it really angered a lot of people in Lubbock. I'm telling you, my wife's fit to be tied over this.
From the standpoint that was the first D I've ever received in my life, or from the standpoint of what they said?
Did you not take trigonometry? Did you?
Well, I did, but those were always pretty easy classes. So,
did anybody make better than a D minus in trig? I mean, I can't imagine anybody doing that. This is the Chad Hastie Program, and State Representative John Frelo is our special guest, and we'll be back right after this. Back to the Chad Hastie Program. I'm Paul Bean, and 1-800-687-0790 is the number to call. If you're outside of the general Lubbock area or in town, 770-5790. John Frelo is our guest. And, John, we have helped John over for just a couple of minutes. There was a mailer sent out by EmpowerTexans.com. where you were given a D-, and there was 4 points made in this, and we've got just a couple of minutes, and I want to go over them. And I want you to give me your opinion. Now, I found it strange that you got a D- from EmpowerTexans.com, but the Texas Association of Businesses gave you a 93. So that these things, there's a world of difference between a D- and a 93, John, as you well know. But let's take these things one at a time that were the points that were made in this mailer. They say you voted to increase legislators' pensions. And what's the skinny on that?
Well, what that was, Paul, was a particular vote on the overall budget coming out of the conference committee.
Right.
So, you know, as we go through and the House passes their version, the Senate passes their version, and there's differences in the budget, which, of course, is the biggest bill down there. They put together a conference committee, and those two hammer it out. The members, I think there's 10 folks on there, 5 from the Senate, 5 from the House. They hammer out those differences, and they bring that whole big budget back, that $200 billion budget, roughly, is what the total budget, all the bills, laws ended up coming up to. And we are allowed, or our job is to vote either up or down on the budget.
Right. There's no line item veto.
No line item veto unless you're the governor.
Right.
So our only option is to vote for the budget or not vote for the budget. They went in and found a small area and then expanded that to come up with that that position.
Okay. They accused you of putting administrators ahead of students. What's that about?
Well, that again was just one little particular item. I believe it had to do with an amendment on there. I think if you look at our track record, the increase in funding to the schools, about $3.5 billion more to schools, trying to even up the schools, the getting rid of, we had 15 tests in the past. We're down to 5. You can look at some of the work that we did. I'm proud of a lot of the work that we did for education. And, I think that we did a lot of good things. Matter of fact, it's my understanding that may have just recently been awarded an award from a local teachers group here in town. I don't know it's official yet, so I don't want to do it. So I think the teachers and, of course, the students I talked to are real happy with the work that I did.
Put arts programs ahead of firefighters.
Well, I think that, it was kind of funny you talk about that, and that was an amendment that being on the committees that I was on, pensions, I was able to really help the firefighters. And when I talked to the firefighters about this, they kind of just chuckled and said, John, what can we do to help you? You are our friend.
Right.
So, there again, where does some of this stuff come up with? Who knows?
And here's the one I really like. Enabled political intimidation of conservatives.
Well, yeah, being a conservative, that is a little bit strange. I think that what that had to do with was a bill requiring disclosure, what we call the dark money, where
right.
you have hundreds of millions of dollars coming in, a potential to come into the state and start changing it. We want to know where that money is coming from. I think the voters want to know, where is that money coming from? Who is funding it? Is George Soros trying to do something here in Texas? I think that it's important for us to know who's spending that money and trying to influence our elections.
Interesting stuff. And all of this came from this Empower Texans.
Bless you.
Excuse me. I've caught a bug somewhere. But this EmpowerTexans.com, they have the Texas Ethics Commission looking at them over this dark money situation?
Well, I don't know that it's I know that there is an investigation going on. I don't know specifically it's dark money, but right. That is correct.
John, I know you've got a busy day tomorrow. You got the speaker in town, and thanks for coming by, and I appreciate you holding over for a few minutes this morning and being with us. We've got Matt Makowiak coming up next, the GOP. Do you know Matt?
No, I don't.
Matt Makowiak, I think he's based in Austin, and he's a GOP strategist, and so we've got him coming up next here on the Chad Hasty program. Thanks for coming in. We've got to go fishing, man.
Let's do it.
We both love to fish. We just haven't been together.
That's right. We'll get that in there and see if Francis won't come along and show us how to do it.
Absolutely, and we'll take Tom Martin along too. Tom and I just got back from fishing on the coast, and we had a great time and caught a lot of fish. But we need to do this because this is the best time of year to be down on the coast catching those redfish and black drums. So, thanks for coming in this morning here on KFYO.
Thank you.
Can we take an early break? Ronnie, let's take an early break, and we'll be back with Matt Makowiak in just one moment here on the Chad Hasty Show.